Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are in our fourth Sunday in Advent. Advent is the English term for the Latin term Adventum, which means coming. We are looking and waiting and watching for the coming of the next senior pastor, are we not? I'm a bobblehead on that one. You bet. But we're also waiting and watching for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent is a time of preparation as we prepare our hearts for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have been following that Star of Bethlehem. And today, we're following the Star to Peace. Now, many of you know what GPS stands for, right? Global Positioning Satellite. Well, I'd like to take those three letters and say God has a system too. It's called Global Positioning Star, because the star led the wise men to baby Jesus. Now, they would have had to travel many miles, perhaps 1,000 or more, arid desert, crags, in all kinds of other areas, through canyons possibly, in danger of bandits and robbers, and also in danger of a king who pretended that he wanted to go to and worship the new king of the Jews. But God told them to take another route back home. So this morning, we follow the star because we too are looking for peace. So this morning I would ask you, are you at peace? And I don't mean Peace Lutheran Church. I mean, do you really have peace? Do you have this kind of calmness in you, this tranquility in the time of all busyness? Are you able to slow down, breathe deeply, and say, I am at peace? Well, what robs you of peace? Possibly it is family concerns, money concerns, especially when we get to January and look at that credit card statement. Could be health concerns, work concerns, school concerns, all kinds of concerns. But what would peace look like for you in your own soul? There was a man by the name of Horatio Spafford who lived in 1873 in Chicago. And in that time, he was in a major business deal, but he sent his wife and four daughters on ahead of him on a ship to go to England. And he would follow and a later ship. What happened is that a couple years before, they had lost one of their children to pneumonia. So as a parent or a grandparent, can you imagine losing a child? Would that bring peace to your soul? Would that bring agony or pain to your soul? Well, as Spafford's wife and four daughters crossed the Atlantic, the ship sank. She sent a cable. Our four daughters drowned. I'm saved. Spafford caught the next available ship to England. And as he neared the place where the ship went down, he wrote this hymn, "It is well with my soul." Can you imagine writing a hymn, "It's well with my soul," after you just lost your four daughters? Can you imagine writing that hymn? Let's sing verse 1 of this hymn this morning.
Thank you.
Peace in the midst of pain. Peace in the midst of anxiety. In the midst of pain and suffering, Horatio Spafford's faith rose up to the occasion of his loss. But don't we often think of peace as the absence of pain and grief? I mean, if I'm at peace, that means my world is good. But we don't live in a world in the absence of pain and grief. We live in a world that is filled with pain and grief and anxiety. So what pain are you facing this season? What struggles are overwhelming you that's getting you down? What anxiety is stirring up in your soul? Maybe the pressure is external or internal. But peace is found in the presence of God, because Jesus Christ is our peace. But there were peace disruptors in the first Christmas. Mary is given the birth announcement by an angel. Can you imagine how that turned her world upside down and inside out? How will this be? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and what is conceived in you is the Son of God. And Elizabeth, your relative, who is beyond childbearing age, is in her sixth month. So Mary goes and sees Elizabeth. And sure enough, she is pregnant. Mary comes back after 3 months with a baby bump. Oh, what have you been doing, Mary? You know how women talk, right? They gossip just a little bit. Then what about Joseph? Mary, what have you been doing? The baby inside me is from the Holy Spirit. Do you think the first people at First Christmas believe that? Do people in our society today believe that? But that is of faith, not of reason. Joseph is told in a dream that what Mary has said is true. Take her as your wife. Can you imagine the anxiety of Mary and Joseph talking to the parents of Mary and of Joseph? The shame that would come on the families. The anxiety, the peace disruptors, if you will. And then they have to travel to Bethlehem. So you know how it works when you travel with kids, right? What's their favorite question? Are we there yet? You understand that, right? So for Mary, she would have had that question. Are we there yet? I can only ride on a donkey for so long, Joseph. Where are we staying? Have you planned that out? Oh, you don't know. Good planning, Joseph. So you know the story. When they get there, there is no room. But that word inn can also be translated as stable, as a place connected to a house. And that's where Mary and Joseph stay. The Savior of the world is born in an unsanitary stable, in an unsanitary world, because our world is filled with sin, pain, and grief, and anxiety. Robbers of peace. Mary gives birth in pain, but also joy when she holds the Christ child, when she kisses the face of God. Joy overcomes disgrace. Joy overcomes pain. joy overcomes all because she has the Prince of Peace in her arms. Can you imagine the unsanitary birthing place? The smell, the pain, the agony, everything that goes into birthing the Savior of the world in an unsanitary world, in an unsanitary place. But yet the unsanitary Savior comes into our unsanitary world because you and I are filled with sin. Some of us would say it's a character flaw, but we all have the same flaw. We think of ourselves over the betterment of others. Is there hurt, noise, and pain in your world, just like it was in Mary and Joseph's world? What is robbing you this day of your peace? Well, what God did is He sent extended family to tell Mary and Joseph about joy to the world, because the shepherds came to encourage Mary and Joseph with the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. So when you go to a doctor, the doctor will listen to your heart, but the doctor also wants to listen to your lungs. So what does the doctor tell you? Take a deep what? You know, take a deep breath. One time? More than once, right? I want to listen to your lungs to see if they are clear. So how about if we just imagine that our lungs are our soul, and that the fluid in our lungs is anxiety, pain, everything else that goes as a disruptor of peace. And Jesus has the stethoscope, and He says, breathe deeply. I want to listen to your soul. I have the cure for the infection in your soul. I bring you peace. Great news. I bring you joy above all joy, because I am your peace. Jesus is our peace. It's not a feeling, and it's more than a state of being. Peace is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. On the surface, Mary's life had been disrupted, but in her innermost soul knew the birth of a Savior. God's promise. As Mary was told that Elizabeth was pregnant, she was bearing the one who would save humanity, Jesus the Christ. At this Christmas time, what are you pondering? What is on your mind? Because as we read in the Gospel of Luke, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondering means deep thinking about it a long time and making a decision. Mary had 3 months to ponder before she came back to Nazareth. How would the news that she was carrying the Christ child be accepted by family, and especially her fiancé? Traveling to Bethlehem was a decree by Caesar Augustus, and it was inconvenient. Can't you understand? I'm 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey, 90 miles. Are you kidding me? And then my mother will not be with me. God, don't you understand that at Christmas I want to be around my own family? And you take me away from my family. So let's just pretend this morning that you get a text this afternoon and Jesus says, I'm coming over on Christmas Day to be in your house. What would you do? You'd wonder, was it really, really Jesus, right? That's the first thing. So you text back, is it really you, Jesus? And in bold caps, all It's really me. I'm coming. I'll be over there at noon on Christmas Day. So what would you do to prepare? Well, your house would probably never look cleaner, would it? Your kids would never be better, wouldn't they? I mean, you would make sure that everything was perfect. But when Jesus came, he asked, how have you prepared your heart? It's not about the house. It's not about the Christmas tree. It's how is your heart? Are you at peace? Because I am the one who brings peace. So I give you four P's this morning to think about peace this morning. It is pray, presence, peace, and praise. Would you read this Bible verse with me? We read together. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prayer allows us to come into the very presence of the one who can bring peace. And that is Jesus the Christ, who is all peace. Now, when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, when people forsook him, when people made fun of him, was he at peace? The answer is yes. Everybody else was filled with anxiety and pain. And there is Jesus praying on the cross, Father, forgive them. You see, that is peace. In the midst of all turmoil, you and I can be people of peace. Because peace is not external, it's internal. It's a personal one-on-one relationship with the one who comes to you each and every day. He doesn't send you a text, but he comes to you in his word each and every day to live in your heart. Prepare your heart for praise. Prepare your heart to be filled with peace. Prepare your heart this Christmas to gather around your tree and be reminded what Christmas really is, God's peace to the world. A number of years ago at Red Apple, the school that's in our building, a man came over to see if his four-year-old would be a good candidate to be at Red Apple. And as he was taken on a tour by one of the ladies at Red Apple, she showed him the rooms, and finally she showed him the chapel, where they would have chapel every Thursday. And the man said, well, I'm not much into religion. My wife makes those kinds of decisions. Well, she said, you might want to come to chapel because once a year, your son will be recognized as lighting the candles, and you have a special blessing. And oh, yes, when it's his birthday time, the same thing, you'll have a special blessing. And the man said, I don't believe in God. And the lady was like, what? Why? She couldn't believe she said, why? He said, my five-year-old son died 2 years ago. I can't believe in a God who took my son. And the only words that she could say is, I'm sorry for your pain. Well, as the year went along, as this child was in Red Apple, when he was introduced to another child, he would say, do you have a brother or a sister? And they would say, yes. And he would say, are they alive or are they dead? Because he lived with a dead brother. Deadness in his family. But as the year went along, the parent, this man, came to chapel. Not once, not twice, but a number of times. And as the mother came at the end of school year, she said, Red Apple has changed our family. Because our son has asked us to pray before meals. Our son has come home with the message of the gospel. And now we as a family are attending church. My husband has been changed. Our lives have been changed. As we sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." God's children say, amen.